Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sharon. Today we're going to chat with Haley Rose Barrett, and she's going to talk about her book, Changing Lanes from Hell to Heaven. Welcome, Haley.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much for having me. Nice to talk to you.
I'm really happy to talk to you, too. It's lovely to have you here.
Thanks.
Why don't you you're welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, professionally, I'm a registered nurse, and I've been a nurse for about 30 years. And my specialty is in mother-baby, maternal child nursing, and women's health care. I'm also a diabetes educator, and I have a background in nutrition. So all about health and wellness and, you know, eating healthy and exercising and just living a healthy life. I have two children, and I live in Miami, Florida, and I love it down here. Lots of diversity, lots of culture, and that's it. That's what I do. I'm married. I don't have any animals.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
How did you start writing?
Well, you know, over the years, I would tell people my story. This one particular story, something that happened to me while I was out in the dating world after I got divorced. And people would look at me in amazement. And I don't mean people on the street. I mean, I would tell good friends or family, and they were in such disbelief about what I was telling them that they said, you have got to write a book. And so one day I sat down and wrote a book about it. So that's really how it evolved. And so over the years I would write and write and write and then put it away and then write some more. So I would say it took me about 10 years to write this book, in all honesty. But that's how it got started.
And were you a reader growing up? Do you like books?
You know what? I like books as an adult. No one ever pushed me to read in my younger days or in, you know, elementary school. And I would not say I was a very scholarly person or student. It wasn't until I got to college that I really fell in love with reading and learning.
Is there books that you like that a certain genre or a certain style of book? You know, like personally, I'm more into fiction than nonfiction, but I read both. What style do you prefer?
You know, I'm kind of biased to nonfiction and self-help and motivational books only because I've needed so much of that in my life. And so I always resort, you know, to that bookshelf or, you know, those books on the internet. And I would say I'm kind of partial to those. And spiritual and how-to and make yourself better, I'm kind of drawn to that.
Is there a favorite spiritual book you like?
You know, I'll never – Marianne Williamson, I love her as an author, and she is just an incredible spiritual person, and I love reading her stuff. And I also read a book from Brian Weiss that I just loved. It was Many Lives, Many Masters, and I just find that so fascinating what he talked about in that book.
Yeah, I think that reincarnation is just a fascinating subject. In fact, I saw recently the gentleman who wrote about past life regression. I read it back in the 70s. I didn't realize he was still writing. He just wrote a new book. And I'm like, it's really interesting how somebody who has no spiritual thing and very technical and very much a doctor suddenly gets everything thrown in their face and has their own emotional and spiritual crisis. I think that's fascinating.
Oh, definitely. I love it. I love reading about it because when you hear about something else that happened to someone else and there's just no way some things can be coincidence, you know, makes you really start thinking about your life and all the things that you can now put two and two together, and some of it starts to make sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it sounds a little cliche, but the book that's spiritual that changed my life was Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. She really, I was always very interested. I was raised Jewish. I'm still Jewish, but I've always been interested in comparative religion. I took that in religious school. I took that in high school. I took it in college. And
wow.
It just hit me at the right time when that book came out, was when I was in college. And I read it, and I was like, it's like everything I had read made sense. I could still be what I was raised, but I could still follow my own path. And it was like, oh, my God, it opened up, you know, angel saying. No, I'm joking.
Hey, it could have happened.
No angel saying. In my imagination, maybe.
Your friend.
Did you have any experience like that with, you know, I love Marianne Williamson. Did you have anything like, did it just like all the cards seem to fall into place?
For you mean my life or writing? I mean,
for your life.
Well, no. If they would have fallen into place, I wouldn't be where I am now writing about it. But, you know, history, just your past really shapes, if you learn from that. So really, I wouldn't say that so much from Marianne Williamson, everything didn't fall into place for me, and she's not like one that, you know, the light bulb went off after I read her book. No, but those types of books really helped me get through the deep, dark times of my life where I really needed to sit back and reflect about where I was and how did I get there, and I needed a lot of help to get on a different path, and that's really how I got started. That's what my book's about, you know. How did I get to that dark place, and then how did I turn it around?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I just think that it's really interesting how different people come to writing memoirs. Myself, I did it. Well, I'm working on mine. It's the first time I've ever written nonfiction other than articles. It's such a different mindset than writing fiction because, well, first of all, it's all true, but it you write it differently. It's completely different. Did you find any difficulty putting down your life on paper or computer, whatever way you wrote it?
Well, that's an interesting question, but no, I didn't. And the reason why is because I lived it. I knew the intimacy of every detail of the, you know, the good and the bad. It was a wonderful way for me to put that on paper and just really express the sight, the smell, the situation, the feelings. I mean, it was wonderful. It's very therapeutic to write, especially about real events that have happened. And if they're traumatic, and, you know, but yet you're still alive, you're still breathing. And so you have to move forward in your life. And it was very hard and difficult because I had a difficult path. So it was hard for me to put it on paper. But the details were so vivid. So it was very easy for me to write in the detail that I did, but very painful, yet therapeutic. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Writing's always cathartic, because you're working from your heart, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, it doesn't matter. And once you're working on something, it opens up a part of you that has been shut, and that's always beautiful.
Yes, and you actually maybe can answer some of your own questions by writing it down. You know, after you read a chapter or two, and then you say, "Wow, no wonder I ended up here because look what I did way up front here." And I think it is. You can help you solve problems. I think some of your life issues.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a very, like you said, it's therapeutic. It's something that will, I recommend, even if you have no desire to be published, I recommend everybody write, I've even told my mom to do that, write down your life story. It's important. It'll help
mm-hmm.
you understand yourself.
Right, exactly. And journaling, I mean, or just journaling, you know, day to day or week to week, and then before you know it, you'll look back and you'll read, and before you know it, you will have a story.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked.
Yeah.
You see
absolutely
things that you...
Be.
Yeah, because you see things you never really... You think you know everything that's in your head, but you really don't.
Right, exactly. And, you know, so many times, you know, because we have to be politically correct in our everyday life, you think things, but you don't speak them because it's
mm-hmm.
not the right time or the place. So, you know, writing them, your feelings... is a great place to start.
And it's sometimes weird because, like you said, we're living in a politically correct world. And even though things have happened and it happened to you,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about it, it's like you get all these people say, oh, I went through that too. I thought I was the only one. You're actually helping other people even though you're talking about yourself.
Right. And I've had such immense and strong reaction to my story from people. It's incredible, and it makes me want to, you know, keep going, because this, it really touches people, and the story will either touch you or it won't, because it applies to you in your life that you can somehow relate to, or it won't. But that's my whole goal, is to help people that need it by reading my story.
Exactly. Why don't you explain a little bit about what your book's about and how you'd like it to affect people and help people?
Okay. My story, it's a riveting, chilling, true story. You know, I talk about many life events that eventually molded the adult that I became, but I lightly touch in the front of the book about you know, the devastating childhood that I had through, you know, with abuse. And it's just a foundation. I don't go into a lot of detail about it because it's not necessary. But then there were so many struggles in my early years, but I used those stories to let my readers know that they're not alone and that none of us live a perfect life. In fact, we make mistakes, and they're going to be big mistakes sometimes, but it's how we learn from them that's important. And I instill in the readers that unless you're going to continue to repeat mistakes in your life and continue to not be able to move forward, unless you step back and reflect how you got there. How did I land where I am, and why am I always in the same rut, the same situation? And then I move on to the part of my book where, you know, I got involved with after a divorce. I got divorced in my 40s. I started dating again. Well, as many women that are dating now out in the world at 40-plus, it's a whole new ball game. And so being the naive person that I was, I got involved in an internet, you know, match.com deal. And unknowingly, I was in a love triangle. And it involved a Russian woman, a Brazilian woman, a Colombian woman, and a woman from Argentina.
Wow.
And I take you along in the story, and there's a lot of twists and turns to the story, and it's all true, 100% true. It's a fascinating story, and it's a heart-pounding story to tell. But the big part for me that I learned in that story was that this event stopped me dead in my tracks, and it brought me to my knees, and everything that I knew to be normal was not normal anymore. And so that's the kind of life event that I'm talking about, where you have to sit back and say, how did I land here? What choices did I make that landed me here in this situation? And so, you know, I really used that situation, that event in my life, to turn my life around and get back on track and to change lanes in life, and hence the title of my book. So, you know, pretty much in a nutshell, I want to, my my voice in my book is that we have to forgive ourselves. And once you forgive yourself that you're not perfect and that you've made mistakes, but you've learned from them, you will help create self-worth for yourself. After you create self-worth, then you have a positive reflection of yourself. You can reflect it out to the world. And then I talk about all of those steps, and then that's how we change the world. We change the world by changing how we view the world. And then how you view the world is changed by how you feel about yourself. And it has to do with self-worth. So I talk to the readers about how to create a window in your life to light in. And then when you let the light in, you can start reconstructing your self-worth and your self-esteem. And that's it. That's what I talk about in my book.
It's very interesting. When you were published, how did you feel when you finally got the book in your hands? Was it like, you know, like your birthday?
You know, it is like you're just so excited because, you know, you just can't believe it, that your story. But there's a lot of trepidation still, and I was still afraid of what my family would think and my ex-husband and the person in the relationship where this event happened. You know, you worry about everybody else. What are they going to think? But you know what? It was such a relief to me that I don't have to hide behind who I am anymore and who, you know, my story. My story's out there now, and there's such a relief in that.
Yeah.
That's a relief.
When you finished your book, how did you decide on the process of publishing? Did you go traditional? Did you go to? Did you self-publish? And how did you make the decision to do it?
Well, you know, like I said, I'm a nurse, so I problem solve. That's what nurses do. We problem solve all day long. So I just thought to myself, it can't be that hard to write a book. So I went out and bought a book, how to write a book, and then read that. And long story short, that does not work. You can write all the letters you want to people to be agents and publishers. And, you know, it was like for years I did that. I wrote letters. And it was terrible, smart about it, and just decided, okay, I'm going to find someone to help me edit, put this together, and I'm going to self-publish my book. And, you know, at the same time I was looking for screenwriters because I knew I had an awesome movie here as well. And so I did that in between trying to find publishers. And then when the movie script was already finished and I still don't have a publisher, I thought to myself, just self-publish it, at least get it out there, the story, and, you know, continue to work on it. So that's really what I'm doing.
Do you feel that going the self-publishing route was easy? Or, 'cause to me, it's a little... People think it's really easy, but it's not. Because not only do you have... The easiest part is writing the book. Doesn't sound like it is, but the easiest part is writing the book. The hard part is everything else, the promoting, to getting it published, promoting it, doing all the other stuff that you have to do. How do you feel about that?
You're definitely correct, 100% everything you just said. And I had to learn all of that, you know. Writing the story, you know, getting it edited for format and grammar, I cannot tell you how important that is. And to pay the money, it's a lot, you know, it's expensive, but that's just something you have to do for, you know, grammar and, you know, format and content. And then you after you publish it, you see the book, yes, you have to start marketing your book. You are your own marketer, so... You know, I've had book signings, and you have to be very creative. You have to go to where your niche is and your target group, and you have to go where they are and tell it where they are. And social media, you know, advertising on social media, Twitter is free, but Facebook is not. And, you know, you can spend a lot of money on Facebook ads, and I've done that as well. I've spent quite a bit of money on Facebook advertising my book, and then you can have a blog. I mean, so you have to really educate yourself on all the ways that you can promote your book. Well, you can actually hire someone, which is, you know, another route if people have the money.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and that's another thing, is to get the word out there, to get into the media, to get sales up, it's very hard. The reason I'm bringing that up is because there's a lot of writers that listen to the show, and I want to make sure I bring it up every time, and I like hearing other people's experiences, so the other authors that are listening or the people who are about to be authors know what they're going to face. It's not like you could just call somebody and say, hey, I want to be on your show.
Right.
I actually am much more open because I went through heck.
Yeah.
I went through
a
lot.
It's a lot of trial and error,
you
know?
Yeah. It's not easy. Yeah. We don't have a lot of time. Do you have any projects? I know you said you have your movie script, but what else are you working on? Or do you want to talk about the movie script?
Well, the movie is called Mia Moore, and it is about the love triangle in the book, that portion of the book. And so it's an action thriller, and it's, you know, a true story. And so that part's done. I'm going to start working, you know, I'm actively trying to get that together now to sell the script. And the other thing that I am actively working on with promoters is a workbook for my book, you know, like a self-help workbook where you can actually write in it. And, you know, I want people to learn and to help themselves, but just through my, you know, guidance and insight from the things that I talk about. And then, last but not least, I am revising the current book that I have now, and I'm going to just make some changes to that. And the, you know, I decided that I'm not going to use a pen name anymore. I'm going to use my name. I don't.
Good for you.
I don't feel it's necessary to really use a pen name. And the publisher that I went with wanted me to use a pen name, but so I'm going to revise it and just go with a different publisher, and I want to use my real name because, you know what, this is my story, and I don't want to hide behind my story anymore, because that's my message anyway. Don't hide behind your story, why, you know, and so I want to live what I'm preaching, so that's what I'm working on right now.
That's cool. The other thing I always ask, how do you work out your work full time as a nurse? You do speak public speaking. You're working as a writer. You have family. How do you balance everything?
Well, you have to be organized. You have to, you know, definitely have a book where everything's very organized in your calendars and everything. And you have to have work-life balance because, you know, if the pedometer is right in the middle, not pedometer, whatever you call it, the needle, the scale is right in the middle and balanced, you can't have it weighing to one side or the other because your physical health is going to suffer for it, your marriage is going to suffer for it, your children. I mean, you have to find a balance and give equal time to each important part of your life. And then deciding what's the important part is the defining part. So I set aside time to work on my writing business. You know, I work every day during the day as a regular person, like everyone else. And then on the weekends, I devote it to my husband and my, you know, we go out, we do things. I have to nourish that relationship as well. So I'm very conscious of compartmentalizing my time. And when it's that time, that's the only thing that I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Were you a scheduler before you started doing all this? I know I wasn't. I never scheduled anything, and now I schedule everything.
Right, but I mean, it doesn't take much to schedule. Just pull up your Microsoft Calendar, you know what I mean? And then you start scheduling, and then you look every day at your calendar, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I have 3 hours on this day. I'm going to, you know, look for a new book cover because it takes me hours to do that. I don't know, I don't know. Just being a nurse, I've had to, you know, I'm just kind of organized because, you know, patients need medication, they need this, they need that, and if you're not organized, you're not going to make it.
Yeah,
as a nurse, anyway.
It's just kind of funny to me because, like I said, it's not that I'm not organized. I wasn't organized. I wasn't somebody. I knew what I had to do, and I did it. And I was always on time, and I always made sure if I had an appointment, I would make it. And you know,
right.
But I never sat down and started writing a schedule until I started doing the show and my other projects and other stuff, and trying to make sure I have time for my family and stuff and fit everything in. The only way I can do it is to schedule everything. And it's bizarre to me because I've never done that before.
But does it work? I mean, do you find that that works?
Yeah, 90%. There's sometimes when it doesn't, but you have to be flexible. You can't be like Simon Legree with the whip because your schedule isn't.
Well, there's some days I say, you know what? I'm not doing any of this. I'm going to have a martini at 5 o'clock. You know, and you know, you have to be flexible.
Well, you also have to remember you're a person. You're a human. You're not there. You shouldn't be such a slave to your schedule that you forget to take care of yourself. Like if you're sick, you know, forget the schedule. The schedule can go because I'm sick and I'm my priority when I'm sick.
yeah, for sure. Yes. Well, you know, I don't know. Women, mothers, you know, nurses. There's always that group of people that do too much and overextend, and it's hard to do it all, and you just have to be friendly to yourself even.
That's so true. That is so true. Thank you, Haley. It's been a lovely chat. I told you it would go fast.
It did go fast. But thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, it's been lovely. Really quickly, could you give them your website or an email where they could get in touch with you if they like?
Everything's on my website, so go to www.haleyrose, H-A-I-L-E-Y, Rose Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T.com. And there's direct links to my email, Twitter, you know, everything's there, Goodreads, Tumblr.
Great. Thank you, Haley. Thank you for being a part of my show.
Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.